Welcome to Blathering Blatherskites. We are on episode number 88. This is our, what, third in a row, guys? Third or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, we're on an official roll. But yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Ken Doman, and am joined today by Robbie and Ryan. Robbie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. We have a new puppy in the house, and so I was talking big the last couple of days to my friends and family about it not doing it, having any accidents, and then today it went like four or five in a row. So.
Of course. That's how puppies do.
So I was doing great. Now I'm not as great, but anyway.
Okay. What's his name?
Ember. E-M-B-E-R.
Okay.
It's like the fire embers. It's got like, it's black and white and has like black freckles all over its nose. And so the idea was that it looked like it'd been getting into like ashes, and then we ended up on Ember. So I don't know. It's fine.
Cool.
Nice. Kids like it. Wife likes it. Everybody's happy.
Good deal. Yeah. What breed is it? What did you say it was?
It's a pure American mutt.
Okay. Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't know
some of the best. Some of the best dogs. Yep.
Honestly, we've had the best luck with dogs that are, you don't know what they are, but its mother was a German Shepherd Lab mix, and they don't know what the father was. So
okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. How about you, Ryan?
Any new dogs, Ryan?
No dogs. No dogs. Doing well. Yeah. We had the big drama right now is we have a weasel that is living under our chicken coop.
Oh.
And it has got two of our prized chickens that Stone took to the fair. Oof. And he was pretty upset about it. So we're dealing with that. And that's not been fun.
So what'd you name it?
What's that?
So what'd you name it? The weasel.
Probably some of the words we're gonna be talking about tonight, Ken.
Right. Oh, that could be segue. Did want to
rhymes with Sonovich.
Okay. Weasley name. The main topic tonight is something might be considered a little controversial, a little sensitive for some listeners. So I did want to mention top of the show, we might not necessarily be, you know, swearing a blue streak here tonight, but we'll be talking about some words considered as strong language. So if you don't want your kids listening to that or trying to guess what the naughty words are, you might have them skip this one. So or if you are that sensitive about it, you might want to skip it too, but we're going to try to talk to this from, what I feel is like from a Christian perspective. We're all, you know, born again Christians here, grown up believing that, you know, cursing is like one of the worst things you can do, or maybe not the worst thing, but it's pretty bad. And I've been doing some research into that and trying to figure out what some of these words mean, what, you know, and kind of go from there. But before we get into that, in the normal course of the show, we kind of talk about things we've been watching, playing, listening to, or whatever. So what kind of was a catalyst for this is Netflix has a show called The History of Swear Words. So we can blame Nicolas Cage for the inspiration here. It's hosted by Nick Cage. You can
blame him for a lot of things, I think.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Good point.
But they have like, I think it's like 8 episodes, and they specialize in a particular swear, and they get into some of the history of it, where it came from, why it became a swear word, the significance of that.
Did they talk about like your mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries?
I mean, not really, not
like
really.
The really serious ones like that. Sorry, folks, I didn't mean to say that out loud, but
no, I know it's pretty rough. I mean, they start right off with the F bomb. The F word is right in there. I think the first episode, S word, the C word, or wait, did they say the C word or the P word? They kind of go through those. And what I found interesting is that the final episode of it was the D word, or damn, which is something that is not really considered that strong of a word anymore, but it's one of the few words that actually is a curse. Like it's a condemnation of someone or something.
It's like wishing them to be in hell, right?
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Condemnation to hell or damnation is where that comes from. And I found that
H-E double hockey sticks.
So I thought that was fascinating that they you know.
Did your kids like it?
Oh yeah, they loved it. They're repeating it constantly. I think they're on their fourth time through it. No, that was not watch with the kids. It's something I didn't deal with the kids though, because the thing is, they, you know, going to public school and even online and stuff, and being exposed to media out there, they know some of these words. They don't know really what they mean, but you know, I've had to have some talks with both my kids about, you know, appropriate language and what to say, and you know, why we try to to say the right things and not offend other people. And to me, that's kind of how I frame it. It's like, well, you don't know who's listening to you, and you don't want to say anything that offends anyone else, and you also want to kind of keep yourself kind of, you know, thinking of good things, and that doesn't always happen when you're saying bad words. But the other shows I've been watching, though, we've all been kind of watching WandaVision, talking about that.
Yep.
Really spoilery episode this last week. They're kind of in the thick of it, and you're kind of figuring out what's going on behind the whole concept of the show. But yeah, did both of you guys see it? You guys like it?
Yeah. So I'm a little I wasn't so much. I don't want to spoil anything, but I wasn't in love with the last episode.
Okay. Yeah, the last one wasn't my favorite. They may have lost me. It was the longest episode by a few minutes, but I had one of the smallest casts too. There were a lot of different characters in it. It was mainly Wanda and what's her
you
name?
You mean the Scarlet Witch?
The Scarlet Witch, which they actually brought her.
Which I had no idea. They had never said that in any of the movies or anything. I had no idea. No. Like right. I was like, well, yeah, she's the Scarlet Witch. We knew that all along. My wife's like, no, they've never said it. I'm like, gosh, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yep. So yeah, they're Marvel. They play the long game on these. After we watched it, my daughter had to see more of what, you know, happened to Wanda, and so we watched Age of Ultron the next day because she had never seen that one, or at least she hadn't paid attention. I think we tried to watch all the Marvel movies a year or so ago, and yeah, the kids, you know, the attention span didn't always last through them all. But she was really into it now, and that's where Disney's plan is kind of brilliant, because they get people in on the show and then they want to start watching some of the other movies.
Yeah, that's what my brother and sister-in-law are the same way. Like, they've been watching the show and they're like, we're missing some stuff here. And so they're watching all the movies now.
Yeah. And Ultron is probably the most significant relating to the show, because that's where they, I think they introduced Pietro and Wanda.
End credit scene.
In a really short, end credit. And then, in Ultron, you see them quite a bit. So, yeah. So we've been watching that. The other show we've been watching is a game show called The Hustler, which it's not nearly as bad as you might think it is from the name. But it's hosted by Craig Ferguson.
I don't get that reference, Ken.
I don't really understand it either myself. but a hustler is somebody who's like, you know, goes into a game pretending they don't know what they're doing and they really do know. And this is like a framed like a murder mystery, but it's really, there's six players of the game and it's like a quiz show, but one of them is the hustler and they know all the answers to all the questions. And the questions are like about them and stuff that's related to them. And they have to convince everyone else that they're not the hustler and they need to be the last one left at the end and they win all the money. And during the course of it, they get to like vote two of the people off that they want to get rid of.
Oh, this sounds fun.
It's cool. Yeah. It's actually a really neat show. I like it. And then
what's the platform?
What is it on?
It's a game show.
It's a game show.
Like what station is it on?
What network is it on? I think it's on regular network TV. Let's see if it's on. I know it's on Hulu. I think that's how we are watching it. So is it on Fox or?
So while you're looking, it reminds me of like the game Mafia or the newer version of Mafia Among Us.
Yeah. Kind of. I mean, that kind of, you know,
in a game show format.
It is ABC. That was my first instinct. I was right. It's on ABC, but you can also watch it on Hulu. So that's how we've been watching it. But yeah, there are a few episodes in, but it's kind of a fun show and something you can watch with the family without the
We're gonna check that out.
Yeah. So that's for me. We tried to watch the Tom and Jerry movie that came out, and my son just he was not into it. So I was like, I'm not watching this by myself. So I stopped it.
Is it animated?
It's live action animated. So cool. Yeah.
Is it as good as the Chipmunks?
It's probably on par with the Chipmunk movies. Yeah. I feel like those are pretty comparable.
I didn't even know there was a movie. So I'm just glad about that part.
Yeah. It just came out. It's on HBO Max. Okay. And in theaters now. So
nice.
It's rated PG, and yeah, I don't know how it ends, so I can't spoil it if I wanted to.
I'm sure Tom eats Jerry, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Just like Wile E. Coyote always got the Roadrunner.
Yeah, yeah. In the beginning of it, it was kind of the familiar hijinks, and but they're like the
did Jerry... they tone down the violence?
That's yeah, what I was thinking, the exact thing.
They had a lot of the same sort of gags. Yeah, but I mean, stuff gets dropped on Tom, things broken over his head, that kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. So it'll feel familiar to the old ones. Yeah. And see, I thought my son would like it because when he's at my parents' house, they will play the old ones for him all the time. And he loves them. He thinks they're hilarious. But the live action parts is what he had problems with. And he wanted to ask if I could skip that. He's like, I just want to see the Tom and Jerry. I don't want to see these people. Yeah. It's like I'm bored with them. So yeah, that was that movie. We might try again this weekend or something. Also with my son though, we've been playing a game called Cuphead.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of this game. Yeah.
I played it when it came out, and I got through it. I beat it, and it's a tough as nails game. It's like,
yeah, is your son playing it or your daughter?
We play it co-op. We play it together.
Okay.
But usually,
how frustrating is that?
We'll play it until he gets so frustrated he can't stand it, and then he wants me to finish the level. So he'll drop out and let me try to finish it, and then I sit there,
even more frustrated,
trying to get through it. And it's a fun game though. I do like it. If anyone's not familiar with it, it's based on 1930s style animation, and it was like hand drawn and animated frame by frame to mimic and emulate that style. And the music is all done in that style as well. It's really more of a work of art than a game, I think. Yeah. But it's fun. I like it. It's frustrating as heck. But it's on Xbox and PC. And then I think they ported it over to Switch and PS4. So pretty much anywhere you can play it. So if you're interested, it's like $20, not expensive, but cool game. There's also a demo or beta for a game called Outriders that I tried it, and it's kind of the shared world shooter thing, kind of like Destiny, Division kind of deal, an RPG kind of thing. I played it for like 2.5 hours. I kind of got into it, but it's not hitting all the same beats as like
Destiny. Like what's the okay. Like Destiny is like space warriors and Division is like espionage, whatever, right?
Yeah, this is kind of similar to like the outer space sci-fi kind of thing. It's this group of people who Earth has been destroyed, or they're not even sure if Earth is gone, but they all got on this last chance of humanity starship. They cruise out however many light years away, and they come out of their stasis on this planet. And it looked like it was supposed to be an Earth replacement. And of course, things go awry. Somehow you get powers. You don't really explain that, at least in the demo, how that happens. And then you get to kind of choose your class of character, like electricity or fire. There's different classes.
Do they have like heart?
I didn't see heart. No, I picked the pyro, the fire guy in the beta or the demo or whatever.
Sorry, that was a really poorly drawn
Captain America.
Captain Planet.
Yes, Captain Planet. Wow. Yeah, but it was kind of fun, but it's a third person perspective, kind of like Gears of War. So it was kind of feeling like that mixed.
Who made it? Is it a big studio or is it an independent thing?
Square Enix, so pretty big. Yeah, pretty big. Pretty high production value. Yeah. It did feel a little early. It felt like some kind of rough edges on some stuff, but it was kind of neat. I mean, you upgrade your weapons throughout it, and I was getting new gear and stuff. But yeah, I played for like 2.5 hours, got a taste of it. I didn't play any multiplayer yet, even though they constantly are trying to tell you to play with other people. But I was just going through the main thing. But it was a free like beta weekend or something, and then I think the game comes out in April, and it'll be a regular $60 game. But I think at launch it'll have cross play, so you can play against people on other platforms. So I don't know. We'll see. I might give another shot when it comes out, but I don't know if I'm going to pay full price for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, my turn.
Yeah, go, Robbie. Go
real quick. WandaVision.
Yes.
We finished Agent Carter. It's only 2 seasons. It's really good. Like, I really it's wish great. They would have. I wish they would have continued it. I don't know
really what happened there. Yeah.
And now we've started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We never made it through originally, and I
didn't either. Think, yeah.
So we're trying, and you know, we're about 9 or 10 episodes into the season, and it's enjoyable so far. We'll see if it goes and jumps the shark. And then the
it does.
Yeah, it does. We did watch The Inhumans. Like, that was one season of a show.
That's a Marvel show?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay.
It was okay. It wasn't great. But the reason it's one season, I think. And then I started, I finished the last Bobaverse book a while ago.
Yeah.
And I just started the Witcher series. So.
Oh, cool. Now, is that in English or in, because I know it was written originally in Polish?
Like, it's written in Polish. It's been translated. Yeah. I started, so I. One of the books is titled Book One, like the title something Book One. So I'm like, that must be the first one to start with. Then I told my friend, hey, I started this, because he's telling me to start it. He's like, oh, here's the order to read it in. I'm like,
right. There's a bunch of like short stories that
I'm like 3 hours into it on audiobook. And now I've started over with another book. But I've seen the TV series and enjoyed the Netflix series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I knew enough, like, this was after the book I was reading, Book One, was after the Netflix series, essentially. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this is just a weird different way to do it. But anyway, so I've gone back and started over. But what I was going to say about all that is I'm about probably 3 or 4 hours into 2 books worth, probably an hour into the right book.
Man.
And I like it so far. And really, I can't tell it's a translation. Like,
oh, good. Never, see, I was going to ask about that.
Never would have occurred to me that it was a translation.
That kind of put me off of it, because I was looking at getting it, and I was like, well, I don't know. Sometimes translated stories don't.
I don't know of any. I don't know that I have any experience with one. But yeah, so far, I mean, I think whoever translated it did it, you know, more of like, they added the correct kind of English to make it sound.
They didn't just put it in Google Translate and like copy and paste.
No, I don't think so. And for the audiobook, I feel like the voice actor who does it's really good. Like,
cool.
It's a really good job. So, I mean, production value is really good. So if you listen to audiobooks, but yeah, that's about it. That's about it.
Awesome.
I'm waiting on the Red Rising board game to come out here soon, but we'll see.
Okay. Ryan, what you been up to, man?
Not a whole lot. I had a bad experience with my iPhone. I've usually, like you guys know, I've always been an iPhone fan.
Sure.
And I'm in the beta. So all my gear, I have an Apple Watch and have an Apple phone.
You're in the beta for like 14.5? Like the
14.5.
Okay.
That's what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, make a long story short, I was in a Zoom meeting for some of the stuff I do on the FarmWise. I plug my phone to my laptop to charge. And the phone it didn't like it. So I literally had to go to the Apple store, make an appointment, because they're in the COVID stuff. It was a fiasco. So that's what I've been battling. And then I left the store thinking everything was fine. I looked at my watch and it won't pair with my phone.
Oh, no.
They rolled it back to 14.5. So,
14.4. Yeah, the stable version.
So Apple definitely took a few points the other way. So that's what I've been doing.
It's a beta, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. You signed up for that.
I know, but you should be able to do like your backup and updates from iTunes, regardless what laptop you have.
Right.
So that was very challenging because she pretty much insinuated, well, you got to have the iTunes built on a Mac because they recognize betas and your Windows machine doesn't. So I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay.
So that's what I've been dealing with. Reading wise, I don't do much of reading unless it's, but movies, there's a couple I want to watch. Real briefly, they keep pumping us on Prime, Coming to America 2.
Yeah, that comes out like next week, right? Like real soon.
Yeah, seriously, Eddie Murphy hasn't been in the spotlight very much. So I'm saying, you know, and they're saying, and I know he started touring again. He's another guy who used in his past used foul language and somebody I enjoyed his comedy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it ties in a little bit, and then there's a new Tom Hanks movie. I want he's a Civil War guy that I'm interested in. I like Tom Hanks' stuff. I think he's really
is that
so I want to check that out when it comes
on
out.
On a streaming service or something? Like where is that at?
I think you can catch it on HBO Max. It's like $20 to rent it. You can get an early release of it.
Okay.
Oh, if you have an Amazon Fire Stick, you can find it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
There.
Cool.
But yeah. So that's me.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Golden Globes were last week, I think, or really recent. It was like yesterday or something.
A couple days ago, yeah.
I usually don't care much about this. I was glad that the Sudeikis did get Best Actor for Ted Lasso. And I'll bring that show up as many times as I can.
Still watched it.
Love that show. Just it's the
you
most
check it out, Rob.
Positive show I've seen in a long time. Restoring faith in humanity kind of thing. So not to oversell it, but it's
but at the same time
what's that, Ryan?
Yeah. I was just gonna say it ties in so well with the foul language bit because there's some wholesome aspects to it.
Exactly.
They have an abundance of I'd say profanity.
There is,
you know,
right. And it's, if it were given a rating, like in a movie, I mean, it has a TV rating MA, I guess, which is R basically same thing, which is a little frustrating. Cause it does like Ryan said, it feels like it's a pretty wholesome show other than the language, the profanity. And that's something I've been like, man, it's like there's some other sexual innuendo and stuff. Like it's definitely not otherwise kid friendly or anything. But for the most part, it's, you know, pretty uplifting show. And what I like about it is you see like positive role models, like people that kind of behave as good adults, you know, that do the right thing. Cause a lot of shows, I feel like they'll try to play somebody, even the protagonist, like showing their flaws and the dark sides of things. And I feel like that's a lot of TV shows nowadays. Not even just nowadays, it's like even shows like Seinfeld and Friends. A lot of times the characters did kind of horrible things, they weren't the best people. But it's a show where the guy is a good guy, like through and through. He makes mistakes, but you don't really see too many characters go and like do like a full fledged apology on a show. I feel like that's something like they don't, you know, show people doing like a good, you know, genuine apology, and you get to see that there. And I'm like, man, that's kind of real life stuff. You know, it looks real, but Sudeikis did. He won that for Best Actor in a Comedy. He accepted the award in a hoodie over Zoom, which
That's what that is. Like I saw a meme on Reddit that had what's expected of a woman at the Golden Globes and what's expected of a man at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of a woman dressed to the nines and then him.
And then him in his schlubby, it was a tie-dye hoodie.
Yeah.
Which I guess was his relating to his sister's business. He was trying to help her out and stuff, but it's still kind of funny. Also, they're filming season 2 of Ted Lasso and he's in London and it's like 2 a.m. when they were live. So, but he's, you know, still could have dressed up like you're saying.
I did hear that Chadwick Boseman's wife was able to accept something for him.
Accepted so his cool. A posthumous award. I'm not even sure which film it was, but I did hear about that, and that's really cool that it did go to him, because I think he was a really good actor and meant a lot to a lot of people too. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it more than like any like recent death, I think it still affects my kids. Like they talk about him all the time, and they really like Black Panther. Like they really love that movie. And yeah, he's just somebody that it still hurts really bad. It's just such a tragic thing. But yeah, that was good that, you know, for his family and for his legacy that, you know, they were able to, you know, get that award. I don't think there's too much else from that show.
We should have had a segue on the lasso thing, because now I don't know how to segue to our main topic.
I know. When you talk about death, let's talk about death, and let's talk about people saying naughty words. but that's the main topic, curse words. We're going to talk about, you know, cursing, all those words, the, you know, four-letter words that, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. And it's something that everybody kind of knows you're not supposed to. It's a forbidden thing or a taboo, not supposed to. But I do feel like more and more it's become part of our vernacular in the United States of America. I don't know if it's just certain places. I, you know, regionally, people have different things that they'll say and words that they kind of gravitate towards. But I'm just something, I, you know, not like I just noticed it yesterday or anything, but it's just something I kind of noticed. It seems like it's more acceptable, I guess, than ever before. And it just gets me thinking about it. And I'm like, well, why are these things bad? Why, you know, if I say a bad word, does that count on my tally sheet? Like, oh, Ken sinned today because he said the S word. And I'm not sure how to grapple with that, because it's like the words we use today, English, you know, specifically like American version of English, is not the same language spoken throughout of history. You know, language has evolved and constantly is changing. So, you know, what makes this word now a bad word when it might have been said at a different time, or those sounds might have come out of someone's mouth and meant something totally different that wasn't bad, that just meant, well, that's how you say poop, you say that. That's the word you use. And so I don't know how to like throw it to you guys, but I you know, without having to, you know, have to repeat any of the words, but does that resonate with you at all? Like, do you think that those are, you know, are words just inherently bad and you don't use them because it's a sin or something bad to do? Or is it more about, you know, respecting other people or yourself, or just trying to present yourself in a way that I have a better vocabulary than that? I've seen that argument where it's like, well, I don't use swear words because I know proper English. I can say the right words without going to these other words that I don't need to use all the time.
I'll chime in. I'd love to hear what Ryan thinks too. But like for me, it's not so much that it's a forbidden word or, you know, something that you shouldn't say. It's more, and it's not that there's a history. Sure, there's a history to every single word. Like, and you're absolutely right. Like a word that we don't like, we tend to consider a curse word or a bad word or a naughty word or whatever today, was pretty commonplace, you know, at some point in the history. So to me, I think it's all about, you know, being aware of what means what now, and being aware of how it affects other people. Like, there's no reason for me to say the F word. Like, I can't think of any reason why I would ever say that word. Now, if somebody says it, so I had some friends in college who knew I didn't swear, and they would completely change their vocabulary around me, which, you know, that's great. I appreciated that. But like, it also, I also work in a place where, you know, people cuss all the time and it doesn't really bother me. But for me personally, it's just like, I mean, I don't feel like I need to though, like, I guess. And so all that to say, I guess for me personally, it's about context. There are certain words that, you know, you could have said in 1860s Civil War era that we don't say today. And there's a reason we don't say them today. And I would not tell somebody to use those words, you know, today, you know, there's, and I don't want to say the word, cause I just, it just turns me off so much to say, to even think about that word. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but you know, it's a racial a racial a slur.
Oh, yeah, okay. In, yeah, and okay. It's not, got it.
It's
got
a curse word, right? Like, but why is that? Man. I feel like that's saying that word would be much worse than saying another word.
Sure,
it's a curse word, and so I think it's about context, right. And I think it's about the audience. If you want to hear, I mean, if you enjoy someone cussing, go watch George Carlin or something. You know, it's fine. Like, I mean, he talks about it a lot.
Yeah.
But for me personally, like, I don't know. I just haven't seen the need, I guess. And right. I'd rather be safe than sorry, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Even for my kids, like we have, you know, our household curse words, like you can't say shut up and you can't say stupid and you can't say I can't.
Right.
Those types of things. So I think it's about context and your audience and yeah, that's just my opinion, but I know you've actually done some research, Ken, but Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah.
There's one word that I say quite a bit because I live on a farm and I find myself bringing it home.
You step in it a lot?
I step in it a lot.
Yeah.
Or it hits the fan a lot. Or, yeah, that one. So, but I.
Which is funny because, like, I'll say POS all the time, but it won't actually say that word.
Oh, you just say the letters. Okay. Okay.
Or I'll say it hit the fan. Hit the fan.
Right. Everybody knows what that meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Ryan. Okay.
Yeah.
But if I'm in conversation, and somebody's swearing, I don't enjoy it. It's not a pleasant experience, you know.
Right.
I'm like, other than I'm sitting there thinking, well, tell me what you really think, and it's I don't need those expletives to, you know, enhance the conversation for me. I got it. I'm pretty, for the most part, I'm pretty sharp. I'm not a smart man, but I am a thinker, and you're getting your point across. So I don't know if you have to use the swear words to do that, you know, and I'm in an occupation where I meet some very intelligent people, but I also meet some very ignorant people, that their word choices always astound me. And I've been completely shocked where I thought the person was very intelligent and they cuss like a sailor. And I've met some people who I thought were very low level intelligent. So I don't think you can even make that correlation.
No,
you know?
No, I totally and that is a common, that's a common perception I think people have is like, that type of language has something to do with intelligence. And yeah, I've noticed that too. But, a few of the things I've been thinking about in all this is, Robbie, you made a good point of like the word that you were specifically thinking of, the old timey word that it is that still comes up. I feel like that's also a shift in which words have become the true like taboo. It used to be words that were just vulgar words that had to do with excrement, with sex, with things like that. And now the truly taboo words are ones that are direct insults to a certain person, group of people, things like that. There are words used to refer to gay people that have become fully taboo that even in the 90s were used pretty flippantly.
Oh yeah. I remember on the playground saying certain words and you just called everybody that, like you'd say you're gay or you're, you know, whatever. And
yeah,
thinking about that now, it's like, we are so flippant, but
yeah. Yeah. And now you wouldn't do that. It's like, that's completely changed in the last 20 years or so.
That's even worse than saying a curse word.
It's changed. It's like its ranking has gone up on certain types of words.
Kind of like baby names.
I don't know. The rankings go up and down.
Popular, you know.
But, 100 years from now, the things that we think are swears now might not be at all. That's the thing. That's part of how language works and how things, you know, continue to change. But I do kind of. I see the kind of rationale and reason behind that though, because it's like, well, other words that it's just a vulgar term. It's not really like directed at any group of people or person. So I can see where that might not be as offensive now as something that when you're saying, you know, particular words that are referring to a group of people in a very negative way. Yeah. That is going to offend people. It probably should offend people, because especially if you're directing that at them, that's, you know.
But has that, so quick question, like, has that always been the case? Like, you're doing this, you've done a little more research here, Ken, so I'll ask this question and put you on the spot. But like, you know, we're talking about, you know, words that are, you know, directed at a group of people or, you know, a sect or, you know, something. Has that always been taboo? Like those types of things? Or is that a new...
Well, the words weren't considered taboo. They were used regularly. But
were there other words in the past that were taboo that described those people or people? Or is that a new creation? Is that a new thing nowadays?
Well, that's the thing, especially with some of these words and the groups of people, like back, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, way before, you know, before that even, these groups of people were considered lower class or considered lower than the ruling class. And they used those words all the time. It wasn't considered bad to them because they thought they were talking about someone beneath them. Whether that was someone who is homosexual, someone who's black, other races. I mean, there are words to describe, you know, all kinds of other races, you know, Asian people. There's a lot of bad words. If you want to keep digging into them, they're out there to refer to groups of people. And yeah, I think those words have been around. Those terms have been around. They were used, like we talked about, more flippantly because people, their perception of their ranking in society, you know, and they didn't feel like it was bad to say them because it was about people that were beneath them. That's my opinion on it. I mean, I'm not a linguist. I don't, you know, study language that closely, but I'm interested in it. Yeah. And that's my opinion on it. It's kind of the way I see how it's, you know, changed.
It's just interesting to me. Like, I think going back into the past, like you said, it was more like explicit, or, you know, swear words were more like describing gross things or, you know, taboo things, not necessarily people as much. And it seems like that's been a kind of a renaissance in our world, that, you know, the idea that everybody's created equal has become more and more and more prevalent to the point where denigrating a group of people is now taboo, which it wasn't, you know, X years ago.
Right.
I mean, in my youth, it wasn't.
Exactly.
And it's just interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that that's happening now, because I asked the question ignorantly, and you don't seem like you know the answer completely either.
But no,
that would be my assumption as well, is that that is a new thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it was not a new thing in certain societies, but in the larger society now.
I just wonder too, you know, not to cut you off there, Robbie, but
no,
we're getting much, much, much more sensitive, you know, as a people. I mean, traditionally, much people have always been, knew their character and they knew what their self-worth was, but we're in this age where people don't have a lot of confidence. They don't value themselves enough. So when they hear, you know, words that might be assassinating their character, they find that overly offensive. Than the swear words, where the swear words used to be what really insulted them. But now if it's something against them or something they perceive themselves to value, you know, does that make any sense? I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah. Something not, like something about somebody that they can't change.
Right.
Like, Like, I mean, if somebody would have called me an imbecile, that would bother me. Right. Like they're saying I'm really, really not smart. I can't change that. Like there's nothing I can change about that.
And that's somebody's opinion too. That's not something that you can.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
You know, you're not proving it. It's like, well, your IQ test came in. Yep, you're an imbecile. Oh, sorry.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point, Ken. Because I mean, that's an opinion, but there are certain things that you know, categorize people based on things that are factual. Like,
right. Well, that's someone who's mentally deficient. I mean, that was a word. Another one, like on the playground when we were kids, was used all the time, very flippantly, the R word, you know, and that's become another one where it's like, wow, you really don't ever say that. And it's like, you really don't need to. And it's like, that's somebody, it's a vulnerable group of people. It's like, why do you need to, you know, put them down? It's just, you know, and I feel like a lot of people have that shift is happening where people do kind of feel a little more that way. But you also have the threat of the cancellation of somebody too, because I could curse a blue streak on this podcast and that would not affect my job or my standing in society. But there are certain words, if I would say, even on this podcast, even with the 10 or so people that listen to it, I could lose my job tomorrow if I said certain words on here. It just,
and that's 100%.
I don't know. It's like, those things should go away, but I feel like there's society that's forcing them to go away in a way that's like under threat, under, you know, if you use these things, then we cancel you, we end your career. And I don't know. It's a sensitive thing. I do not know the answers on it. And I feel like I'm skating across like thin ice on this topic because it's so sensitive, even just to even broach it in among you guys. But that's kind of where it is right now.
Not trying to get into cancel culture as a topic.
Right.
So what other research have you found, you know, from just the swear word, like what's the history of, you talked a little bit about, you know, kind of taboo, like gross things.
Right. Well, you look at something like the Bible, that's a very old text, you know, it's something that, you know, Christians hold very dearly. There are a lot of swear words in the Bible. And there, I found out in my research here that there are swear words that have been extracted from it or made to be a little less harsh. It was, I think, the Apostle Paul in the first century. He used the term dog excrement. He said dog shit. Okay, guys, that's what he said. He said that. It was in the Bible. Yeah. And then it was made over time to be less offensive to people. There are swears in that text that.
And so, you know, really, really quick, when you talk about translation and stuff, you're talking about not the actual. I mean, it would have been dog poop or whatever like that, right. But like it was the swear word for dog poop.
It was exactly. It was not in English, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, that's the translation.
It was a fairly taboo thing to say. This particular word in Greek.
Right.
And when they translated it, they translated it to something that was less taboo, like garbage.
And I'm curious too, just as a point of clarification for this discussion we're having, who was Paul talking to? Was he talking to
the Philippians? It was actually
barbarians.
Philippians 3:6. He said he was okay, I'll give you the context here. This is from a blog, Hope Church Latin blog, which I can put on our website under this podcast if anybody's interested in that. He said, in the writing to the church in Philippi, he wanted to contrast the things that supposedly lost with surpassing the worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. To make his point, he considered such things to be dog shit. And that's a first century swear word. And that has been translated as garbage in sewer trash, other dog dung. But the original message was more of like, the vulgar term there. So, he was trying to put, spicy language in here. that was intentional. Right. And to me, I think that's kind of the way these words are to be used. Like if you use it so much that it's just like every other word you say, their meaning does become very muddled and they lose any power they have. You just come across as someone who just says these same words a lot. But if you're a little more selective on them, I think that when they are used, it does punctuate things. It does stand out. And it's like, oh, wow, they're serious, or they're trying to make a point here.
Because I think that's true, Ken, because if you, and I don't know that I agree with it, but I think it's true. Like if you talk to somebody and you have a relationship with somebody and they never swear, the one time that they do, you're gonna remember it, right? Like if they're trying to make a point, you're gonna remember that point. I think
100%. Yeah, yeah.
Whether or not I think that's the right thing to do, I don't know that that's true. But like, I agree with you that there is an exclamation point there that really hits home.
Yeah, and there's other verses too where it's been translated as calling someone the son of a perverse and rebellious woman. And it's like, okay, guys. Read between the lines here. What was he saying there? It was actually quite a bit stronger words than that. So that there's a lot of instances of that. And the reason for bringing a lot of this up, there is actually a story about a pastor that, you know, started off this sermon in front of his congregation here. His name is Tony Campolo. I'm not that familiar with him. I guess he's, you know, a known preacher. I'm not into, you know, knowing celebrity preachers. I don't know if he is, but in one of his sermons, he said, while you were sleeping last night, 30,000 kids died of starvation of diseases related to malnutrition. Second of all, most of you don't give a shit. He said this to his congregation in church. He says, what's worse is that you're more upset about the fact that I said shit than the fact that 30,000 kids died last night. And I'm like, man, when I read that, that hit me like a ton of bricks, man. Because it's like that, that's how people are. People will, they'll become more offended by a word, you know, oh, that was a bad word, rather than, you know, another horrible thing happening. Like, what's more offensive to you? And the thing is, he's right. I'm sure that was the case, that people were probably more offended and just more shocked that he said that word. He said the S word in church rather than.
But I still think there's room for the audience members, though, to be offended at both. Is that possible?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can find, you know, language, you know, derogatory, or, you know, say, well, it's just not necessary. But that was the case, like we were saying, that he was making an exclamation point there. He was trying to make a point. And I feel like in that case, use of that language was effective. And I don't think what he said there necessarily was a sin.
It was, if he does that in every sermon from now on, like,
exactly, then it loses that meaning, doesn't hold that much. The exclamation point becomes dulled. it's barely even a period. Right.
It's problematic for somebody, because what's effective isn't always appropriate. What is appropriate isn't always effective.
Yeah.
So
that's a good way to say it, Ryan.
Yeah. I like that.
I don't. As you go through life, I don't know if that's the, that's the challenge. I mean, that's the whole crux of what we're talking about is. I always favor being appropriate more than effective. I think I'm probably 60-40. I mean, I don't know. I can never remember my dad swearing.
Right. Me neither. My parents never.
I remember your dad. I remember your dad not swearing in a long song where he intentionally doesn't swear over and over and over again.
There was a young lady in the springtime.
Ryan and I know that song by heart.
Right.
And it's funny.
But see, then you're the bad one because you thought the word. They didn't say it, but they made you think it. And then you're like, oh man, I'm the bad one because I thought that word. But that's the whole point of the little, you know.
I don't think we should sing it.
No, probably not.
I can't sing it for you, but I don't. Yeah. You go down to zero listeners. Zero.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that kind of, I don't know, trying to make another transition here, the best way to say it, but I do think sometimes the type of language you use, and we kind of touched on this a little bit before, Robbie specifically was talking about context, how that's so important, is the context of it. And I've been in situations where, you do kind of feel that pressure, like you're in a group where there's certain language that's acceptable, and then they'll eventually kind of notice. It's like, well, I know it's kind of, he doesn't talk the way we talk, you know. They won't come out and say that, but you kind of feel it. And then all of a sudden you kind of notice them trying to be careful about their speech when they're around you. And then you're like, oh man, are they not saying things they would normally say? And it's like, those are situations I don't know the right answer to. I don't know, like, what's the best way to handle that. Cause I don't feel like you should always say or talk a certain way just to fit in. You know, but you also don't want people to, you know, feel bad about themselves because you're speaking differently than them. It's a tough thing that I've thought about probably way more than.
On that same topic, like, I'm thinking about meetings I'm in. Like, have you noticed that there's a lot less swearing now that we're more virtual?
I think so. Maybe. Yeah,
I have noticed that.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, one to swear much, but like I have noticed it is way dulled down. I don't know if it's the idea that it could be recorded or what it is, but like I have, it's so, it's like, I've just noticed a vast difference. And even occasionally when somebody does swear, they apologize for it.
Right. Oh,
which
man.
Is unusual.
Sorry. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's true. And maybe that will change our culture, our society in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. We might see a different, you know, what's acceptable, what's not kind of thing. But yeah, I don't really have an exit plan from this topic. There's no really clean way to transition out of it. Because there's no resolving with, you know.
Yeah. I think the clean transition is the rhetorical question of listeners: what do you think? Tell us what you think.
Exactly. What do you think? Like, it, you know,
do you exit music?
Yes. You know, the bad words make you a bad person. Doesn't make you. You know, I've seen other studies that say it's a sign of intelligence, a sign of you know, or the benefits of it. That you know, if you're experiencing pain. My wife is a doula by trade. She's there for pregnant women. And she says women that she'd never heard swear in their lives, things change when that baby is coming out and they will say words that you've never heard them say before very loudly. So another example of context. So I think there's maybe a time and place for things. I think it's, individuals, just our job to be aware of that and try not to offend other people. Like if you know it's going to offend people, then yeah, there are things you might not want to say, even though to you it might not be offensive at all. So
I definitely don't want to be a stumbling block for somebody else.
Right.
I think that's important.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But I do think that, if you break it down, I think at the root of it is like, try to be considerate, be nice to other people, and if you know something's gonna offend them, then you know, probably don't want to use that. But there are also times where I feel like there are people that will get their way by being loud and saying expletives too, because people use it as a tool. So but I feel like that's on them, and I try not to be influenced by that, and I try to not let people get their way just because they said, you know, certain words to me or when I was in customer service, especially. That's a past life, but there have been times where I've been, you know, confronted with expletives very close face to face, and I try to make it not work for them. That's not the magic word that gets their way. So I don't know if that's wrong or not, but that was kind of my opinion on it. But well, I think we navigated this pretty well. I did say a few bad words, guys. Sorry. I don't think we need to bleep them. We put the warning out there. If people complain,
I'm not worried about it, Ken.
Complain to me if you have complaints. But yeah, also like Robbie was saying, if anybody does have comments on this, anybody's listening to it, I do find this topic really interesting. I'd like to hear other voices about, you know, talk about it. If we can get interaction with the audience, if there's anyone out there, would like to hear it. But yeah, any other final thoughts from you guys, Ryan, anything?
My conscience is clear.
Good. Yep. Good. So like to hear. All right. Yep. Robbie, any final words for episode tonight?
Your brother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries.
The worst curse ever. All right. Thank you guys for listening. This has been Blathering Blatherskites, episode 88, and we will catch you next time.